Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the evening show. I want to make sure we're good to go. Let's get this party started. And we are breaking chains, implementing change, success rituals, turning grief, hardship into thriving. So with that being said, I'm making sure that we were already ready. We got it. Everything's running smoothly, so good to go. So we're in part two of our levels of rituals of highly successful individuals. And in this module, the reason why I wanted to get into it is that we have to learn how to break our chain of staying in the same place or never getting anywhere because we tend to want to be stubborn. And we want to be able to keep the same pace of things and never change. And the reason what made me really do this one tonight was to piggyback off of yesterday. We had the conversation about different things, and we were hitting lightly on a couple of different subject matters, which is resiliency. And I gave you some strategies about resiliency, so I'm going to give you some more today. And then we're going to talk about other different things to help you to build those levels of changes and going into the successful level of rituals that most successful people who are out there in this world, some of your tastemakers of this world, some of your most famous people in this world have overcome hardship, grief, loss that some of us never knew they went through until they shared it with us, which makes them even more, all the more endearing and things like that. When you see your favorite out there and you see someone really overcoming something and then they become something that you never thought they would be and they end up being your favorite out there, say it's a singer, say it's a rapper, or say it's a president or a vice president or something that amazes you that this person overcame everything that was designed to take them down in life but ended up building them to the great person that you see out there. It does not mean that their life is any easier. It just means that they master the steps that most of us are trying to get there from there, from here, where we're all at. And that's as us as vegans, civilians, anybody who's of a regular echelon in life. When you see these people who are stars out there and see industry's finest and greatest, that inspires us all to want to be something great or maybe be one of those stars one day or being a person of great influence and stature, you have to think, what did they do to get there? What actually happened that made them so strong to be able to be in the spotlight with a great level of responsibility and integrity? And having this following, this mass following of people. And when you think about this, the greatest responsibility you can have is a following of people who believe in you, who love you, who value you, who treasure your existence. And that's something amazing, but not everybody is deserving of that, and that's true. But there are some people who really are. And when you see your Joe Bidens of the world, you see your Dr. Joe Bidens of the world, you see your Harris's of the world, you see highly degreed and professional Michelle Obama, that I am becoming a graceful person. We see Barack Obama, highly degreed, professional, very, very, very astute. And you look at Joe Biden, you see the same thing. So it's not a black or white thing. It's all about how amazing that these people all have endearing things they share with us. And we realize that they're regular, average, everyday human beings that met some of the deepest challenges in life and hardships in life and ended up overcoming all that and becoming the people that they are, that we're seeing and we're learning to know and love and see as our leaders and things like that. So that's what I meant by tastemakers, people who change this world, people who are out there, the people who light up our life, to what I would call a luminary, somebody amazing who just illuminates this world and makes us look at things and say, I can get there from here. I can be just like Joe, I can be just like Dr. Jill. I can be just like Michelle Obama. I can actually be somebody amazing if I go through the hardships that I go through. There may be things that happen that I wasn't planning, but if I can get through that and then begin to break the chain and strategies to implement those changes and become a light in people's life, a beacon of light that you can see that I might have had a hardship, but I made it. I might have had things in grief and loss, but I made it. And what really makes me think about this is, you know, our new president he is so endearing to watch because he has such a poise about him and is like a lovable guy that you can look back at all the presidents we had back in the day. And we think about all of them, and some of them were just like, I didn't too much hear from them, but they still have that same poise and decorum and that ability to have discourse that made you respect them and made you like them, whether you liked all of their views, but you understood them. You understood their leadership, their management, and their charisma. That's what I believe Joe Biden holds. And you go back and look at Barack Obama, it's the same exact thing. It wasn't about white or black, but the man was competent. He was able to lead, and he wowed us with some of his charming ways, and his wife did. That's the same thing with Dr. Jill Biden. She absolutely amazes me how intelligent and smart she is, how incredibly graceful she is. She's a breath of fresh air. So when I think about this, I think about the Obamas and their family, how endearing they were back when they were in the White House and things like that. So when we're thinking about these people who lighted up our life, those are people you look up to. When you look at celebrities, you look at all different people who have made it in life. It's not that they're like perfect, but you may not see all the hardships that they went through to get there. So with that being said, I'm going to go to the layman part of this as a civilian and relate that. Because when you go through the hardships in life, it does something to you. It makes you feel a certain way. Like, why me? How come I have to go through this? What did I do? And I want to simply tell you guys nothing. You may have not done a darn thing for the things that happened to you in your life. Some of us, including myself, have gone through a series of orchestrated, unfortunate events and hardships that happened because it's piggybacking and stemming off of life. Life has a way of going 6 degrees separated, no matter east, west, south, north, south. And when you think about all these different things, we're all interconnected some way. We're all bound together in some way. And that is as a United States citizen and those of us who are UK citizens or dual citizens or whatnot. So when you think about all of these different things, we cross each other's paths somewhere 6 degrees separated, no matter what part of the world we're in. So our history, our generations, all of that is handed down from generation to generation. So when I did this presentation series, I wanted to make sure you guys understood that. Time to break those chains, strategies, implement change, and sometimes that's changing management, changing staff, and then even in your personal life, changing what goes on in your personal life, including up to marriage, relationships, or even engagements or things like that, all the things that put into the factors of hierarchy and need and wanting to get where we want to get. And we all have the wants and needs of Maslow's hierarchy, and I'll pull this up for you guys to understand it. This is from the psychological point of view, and when I took Psych 101, 102, and 103, and 104, it's a level of four-part theory that I had in college. And I want to relate this to everybody, and I don't mean to harp on college because not everybody goes to college. And I'll tell you one thing. I met some stupid people with degrees. Trust and believe, I worked for them. So I always try to tell you guys, college is not for everybody, but it is for some people. And I encourage anybody to go to two-year college, or if you decide that that's not for you, that's okay. Get your trade. There's people who make a Google or commensurate same amount of money as somebody college might do. You can go to trade school, coding school, anything that is of this new age, newfangled careers that are coming about and things like that. And with us being in the digital age, it may not require all the time a two-year or four-year unless you want to go into management or a level of hierarchy that's higher than just a regular, everyday, layman person. But I will tell you guys, the people who are what we call support personnel are people who are frontliners who do all the work in the business, whereas us managers who sit at the higher levels and things like that, C-suite levels, I want you to understand that even the manager started at the bottom. And I want you guys to understand what I mean by that. Even the CEO that you see in major corporations might have been somebody's janitor and might have been somebody who was the cleanup girl or might have been the nurse or might have been the office assistant before they became who they are today. So when you think about all these different things, some of your greatest stars had average everyday Joe and Jane jobs before they became famous. So when you think about this, all of us have had a 9-to-5, right, including myself before I became disabled. But that does not make me any less of a person because I had a conversation recently with my mama, during my mommy. Yes, I call her my mommy, and I'm older. Yes, I call her my mommy. Well, no, I drive her to hell and back, but it's still my mommy. I dare you to go after her. I'm the only one who has a license to check my mom. So, again, yes, mommy. So my mom is here, has been my saving grace in many times, and sometimes been the reason why I get mad and upset. Y'all hear me, beep, 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 you got me messed up, lady, beep, beep, beep. But that's still my elder. And I've taught this mindset since I was little, each one, each one, each one. And I am abundant somebody. She used to put me in front of the mirror and tell me, you saw yourself in the mirror every day, I'm somebody. And I started believing it and at a young age. Because she taught me a level of pecking order and understanding about respecting my elders, no matter if I felt they were right or wrong. And sometimes there's a way to go and approach things. So part of that is in that time to break those change strategies to implement change, it's to learn how to adapt. Even with our generational learning and things like that, we learn how to go and bloom and blossom and illuminate our own life with how our RNA, our DNA, that program with us, our illuminated creatures, our I am self. So when we think about this psychiatrically, we're going to go into the hierarchy of needs with Maslow's hierarchy of needs with that explanation, why that works out. So give me just one moment. We're going to need some homework. We're going to giggle it. And we had this in a strategic reasons here. I want you guys to understand it. And organizational management. Pull out my old little stuff. Like, I'm not going to put dust bunnies off that so it can go end up sneezing all over my presentation today. So I was like, forget it. So we're going to give the rest. So while we're letting that load, I want you guys to understand all of this. Well, we have this conversation, so I'm going to put this on my phone now. And you guys will be able to go do that. So, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When we think about this hierarchy, this comes from 1943. So when we think about all of this, we think about love with self-actualization, esteem, love and belonging, safety needs, and psychological needs. So let's go over each part of this here, okay? When you think about self-actualization, we think about the desire to become most that one can be, right? So it's just like when you look at the military, you look at the Army, you look at the Navy, you look at the Coast Guard, you look at the Marines, you look at all these different things like that. I think I got them all. Army, Navy, Marines, Marine Corps, Air Force. Yeah. So when we think about all these different things, you think about the desire to become the best that you can be, just like in the Army or the Navy, the Marine Corps, all that, Coast Guard and all that, and Air Force. So when you think about all of these things, you have to reprogram the mindset when you become a soldier. You are set to survive. You're set to go to a level of defending against enemy foreign domestic, but as a civilian, it's the same level of understanding how to survive life. You begin to look at things in that hierarchy of needs. You look at self-actualization, esteem, love, belonging. In those levels of self-actualization, you look at the desire to become the most that you can be. Esteem is the level of respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength. And then on top of that, you're looking at the other parts to this, which is you look at love and belonging. You look at friendship, intimacy, family, a sense of connection. And you look at safety, personal security, employment, resources, health, you know, levels of things like that, and property. So when you're thinking about all of those types of things, you're thinking about the physiological needs, which is food, water, warmth, rest. So when you think about that, that's air, water, food, shelter, sleep, and clothing, and then reproduction. So that's at the lowest end of the totem pole. But that all factors into our pyramid of life. So when we think about all of this and we think about how we illuminate and lift up ourselves to a level of life in our life, we think about everything we're born with, programmed with, and that is our I am authentic, our illuminated one, our real, true, actual self, which is self-actualization. We begin to shed the light on who we truly are. But as we grow in our generations, we begin to grow apart from all of that and begin to start going by what everybody else wants us to be instead of what we're supposed to be. So part of that is in psychiatry and psychology and understanding all of that. And so when we think about love and belongingness, and we think about this hierarchy, right? So when we go through this hierarchy, we have to go and understand the level of the 1943 Maslow hierarchy of needs. And part of this is that we have a need that is, it is an ideal of psychology proposed by Abraham Maslow. And that was in 1943 in a paper, A Theory of Human Motivation, in the Journal of Psychological Review. And this is one of those things that most psychiatrists, psychologists look at and also study from institute. So when we think about all these different things, Maslow subsequently extended the idea to include his observations of humans and a curiosity. So our innate curiosity is to quench that thirst like we were talking about yesterday, and that was the levels and layers of physiological, biological, economic, financial, and emotional intimate needs. So all of that goes into that hierarchy. So I want to break that down real quick for you guys and begin to look at the healthy levels of mindset that we have to have in emotional resilience, and that falls into that hierarchy of esteem and self-actualization and love and safety and physiological, biological needs and things like that. So when we're thinking about all these healthy things that need to be done, those are success rituals, correct? So when we think about all of that, that goes in what's transforming our mind and our mindset and going into a level of resiliency and rituals of success. And that's what most of your people who have shed their light on us all about how they got there, probably some people ended up being presidents, who ended up being orators, narrators, speakers, people who legitimately came out there in this world, and every hardship, obstacle that was put before them, every grief, every loss, they used that as a way for them to stem off of that and jump off that springboard and become who they are today. So it means that they didn't just get there overnight. It took levels and layers and obstacles, hardships that they overcame, things that were designed to break them down. That's why we all are going to go through something in life, grief, hardships, and things like that, but it's going to test our ability, our integrity, our value system, and our ability to stay together mentally, emotionally, physically, economically, without breaking down. Sometimes the strongest people are the people that people consider the weakest link, but they tend to be the strongest. So a lot of times you get people who are great performers, but when you look at it, who is the strongest is sometimes the one who's the most flawed, because they're not perfect. They're not going to present as I'm a perfect person. Show me a perfect person, something's wrong with them. So when we look at that thing and the resiliency, we challenge the assumptions, which is also part of what we're going to talk about today. So when we understand our habits, we begin to challenge our assumptions about people, places, and things. So unhealthy habits prevent you from accomplishing your goals and can affect your health. So what does that mean? And while we're thinking about that, call in live 515-602-9765. And for this seminar, you can cash out offer a level of love offering at $INCCcoaching, $DivaCoaching, $Seymour Online, $TalkRadioDiva, put TalkRadioDiva, the power to do more. And you may call and book your appointments at 833-INCC or 833-4MY-APPOINTMENT, which is Don Diva Coaching, or 833-BOOK-ME-TOO. And you can book your appointments online at imccoaching.com and dondivacoaching.com for your regular everyday citizen and teamworld.online for children, adolescents, young adults, and family members, and imccu.com for your specialty appointments and things like that. So with what I was saying is I want you guys to understand all of this, and understanding your habits and changing is doing that self-inner work and self-seek and being able to understand yourself from inside out. That's what I meant by doing shadow work and doing all the inner work that is required of you to become a more resilient, more enlightened person. And when I say enlightened, it means just your mindset, your mind's eyes open. You begin to look at your eternal circle. You're all seeing that pyramid of levels of hardship that you're going to go through, but you're going to step on each foundation of what's thrown at you, build on that foundation of growth, and begin to build your pyramid and your hierarchy and harden yourself up and have a hardened armor of resilience and mindfulness and being present. So that means that the light and ray of light shines in on you, and you begin to become more enlightened on how to master life and time to break those chains, strategies to implement change, and begin to overcome hurdles that otherwise would have broke you a long time ago. So let me get this room started for everybody to come in. So the room is open, and I'll have it posted for you guys. Give me just one moment. And you may come to that room, ASAP. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand how important and imperative it is to have success rituals and formulas that help you to continue to overcome no matter what life throws at you. Because life is going to throw you a lot of monkey wrenches in life. It's going to throw you a lot of things that are going to literally, legitimately cause you to have to change your habits or overcome bad habits that you might have and move towards a level of ritualistic things that help you to build onto a level of better success from a what I call a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. I begin to build off those hierarchy needs and figure out how to assess, change, implement, and begin to execute that level of strategic planning that has to keep going in order for you to build on that foundation that I just talked to you guys about. And so with that being said, I want you guys to understand how that works and all of that is intertwined and how you build that with behavioral health, mental health, emotional health, habit change, and beginning to realize, hey, somewhere along the line, I have to change. And it's not whether you want to. Sometimes you need to in order to grow. And welcome everybody on Facebook to the Actual Fluff House. You may join. And you may go to I Am Stacey on Facebook. You may like share the page, and you may join. You may go to Dawn Divas Coaching on Facebook, and you may join there as well. And you may post and go and join from Team World Online. And if anybody has hands raised in the clubhouse, you will be able to talk to me just one moment when I take questions and things like that. But that will be a little later. And those of you who are in the hallway, come on in. And make sure you like, share, subscribe to the page, and let everybody know on Instagram as well. And just one moment, guys. Yeah. Back to what I was saying, I wanted you guys to make sure that you guys are following along and we are on the same page. There is a level of understanding that changes to your habits. So unhealthy habits prevent you from accomplishing your goals and can affect your health. And that's your emotional health, your mental health, physical as well. Many habits are simply a way to cope with stress or boredom or even a combination of boredom with your life or the habits that need to implement a better level, a layer of your life moving forward instead of 90 miles an hour backwards. So you can learn healthier ways to cope, replacing your unhealthy habits with good habits. So with that being said, sometimes stress or a level layer of life-changing events is actually caused by a deeper set of problems. So do you have certain beliefs or reasons underlying your unhealthy habits that you may have that are stopping you from growing and time to break those chains, strategies to implement change? So think about what I just asked you guys. Most of the time, it usually is the culprit. There's a lot of things that might be going on that are creating or causing a level and layer of that, and there might be a lot of things that are causing a layer of you stalling your progress because you refuse to change the habit. So with that being said, you have to look at the levels of underlying unhealthy habits that be somebody you're around. Is it your surroundings? Is it your relationship? Is it your marriage? Or is it that they're of a breakup of a marriage or a divorce? Or is it a level layer of your work environment? Is it some kind of stress that is causing the levels and layers of your habits not changing or your resistance to change? So when you think about all of that, sometimes the benefit is biological, like it's maybe smoking or it might be something else. If you don't smoke or you don't drink or you don't do drugs, like I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I don't care if you do that. I will tell you guys to get off of it because it does do well for your body over time. And the older you get, the worse it is. But to take and cancel those type of habits. So when you think about all this, and I have to tell you guys this as a life coach, that it's better for you to have help in your lifestyle and mindset and things like that, and it keeps your brain clear. So without further ado, that's enough about that PSA. Sometimes it's emotional and like unhealthy relationship patterns or things like that. In some cases, your habits help you cope with. For example, if you bite your nails or say you might drink a lot of coffee or say if you like literally are a drinker and you drink a lot, maybe you have a beer and you get home. And then you sit down and you're just like, okay, I've had 6 or 7 beers in. Maybe that's enough. Maybe you should reduce that 6 or 7 beers to maybe 1 beer. Or, you know, like if you have a glass of wine and you start to see yourself freezing up and drinking a whole bottle of wine, then you begin to see that that's the habit that you need to change. So that's a prime example of changing habits. And when you think about this, most of our successful people in this world don't have a lot of major habits. If they do, they're functional with their situation. So that's the difference between most people. You can have habits, not what you do, it's how you do it. And a lot of people don't understand what I'm saying with that. It means that whatever it is you do in your life to cope and compensate for whatever's going on in your life, if your habit is overtaking your functionality, your mental health, your emotional health, or your well-being, then maybe you need to shut it down. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's alcohol, or anything else. So when you think about a level and layer of all your habits, whether good or bad, are in your life for a reason. So when you think about these behaviors, what is it linked to? Then you have to think about the benefits to you, even if they're bad for you in other ways. Sometimes the benefit is biological, sometimes it is financial, sometimes it's economic, or a combination of all. And is it smoking or is it something else like that? Or unhealthy relationship patterns that keep you in a codependency, but maybe that's what's working for right now. But do you ever think about maybe ending that relationship? Might be hard in the beginning, the grief and the loss there might be hard, but when you get past the grief and the loss, you realize you didn't lose too much of anything. Only thing you lost is a headache or stress or levels or layers of stress. So when you think about all this, you have to cope better and have coping resiliency mechanisms. So when you think about this, you think about ways to stay connected with others, right? And you think about levels and layers of staying on top of things, but it's a distraction. Say, like, you look at your email. But what if you're not getting anything done with the email? So put that email distraction away. So that's an example of somebody with productivity issues or something like that. When you begin to go and look at what's distracting you and keeping you from top peak productivity, you begin to realign how you do things. It's the same thing with social media management. Or a level layer of doing things when you are a business owner. You begin to start to look at what is distracting me, what is not growing the business, what is becoming a level layer of chaos or disorder in the business. It could be even your spouse, even if your spouse is setting you up to look stupid or doing all things to undermine you. So those are things where you have to prepare to possibly potentially divorce, especially if your dreams are more important than anything in the world to you. And if your spouse knows that, they would either be your biggest cheerleader or your biggest campaigner, not your biggest detriment to your growth or elevation in life. So when you think about those are two types of scenarios. And that's either intimate or professional. So I want to give you guys that kind of outlook, but you have to look at how it affects that productivity or what you're doing in business, or if it's a layer of you going to school. If you've got someone that doesn't support you in your school endeavors and wants you to kind of be dumbed down instead of being educated, if that person doesn't support your campaign to go to school, then maybe you need to find somebody who's like-minded of that echelon that wants to go to school, or somebody that supports you whether they go to school or not. So those are the things like that that become a level of stressors. So when you think about all of this, you have to do the inner shadow work and begin to say, who is my work team? Who is my success formula team? Who is my success team, period? So when you think about all of this, you have to think about, it's important to replace an unhealthy habit or people who are unhealthy for you, mentally, emotionally, financially, economically, or even sexually. And so when you think about all of those things that fall into the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So when you think about that, you have to start to begin to look at, how are you being stressed? You have to look at those factors and effectively begin to just stop. You begin to go and change all the pathological idiosyncrasies or the things that are causing a level and layer of why your life is not heading in the direction that you want it to be. And that's part of putting those foundations there for yourself. So each foundation that you step on, you're going to begin to put a layer until that foundation goes up to that piece. And you look at the behavioral, you look at the the emotional health, the behavioral health, the mental health part of it, and that's the other side of that flow. And then you look at the level of the connection, dialectical and cognitive at the bottom, and then you look at the peak when you connect dots. And then you're at the top of the pyramid and begin to look at all the hardships, the obstacles, in a better way. And you begin to take the lessons out of the hardships, obstacles, grief, or loss, and you begin to build off of that. So that's what I meant by going on a foundation and a layer of bricks that are thrown at you. That could be life. It could be your workplace. It could be your environment. It could be anything that's toxic that's creating those layers of not growing or trying to break those chains, strategies to implement change. And even generational curses. And let's get into that. When we think about generational curses or generational levels of things that happen, we're talking about familial. When you have a level layer of familial chains that have to be broken, that means emotional soul ties, mental soul ties. And I told you guys we're going to get into it today. So when you have soul ties, it can be anything from familial values or what you were taught outside of your crystals, what you were born with, your illuminated one, your DNA, and things like that. So when we start to go to assume everything we're taught is right, we begin to adapt to everybody else's level of what they want, what they feel, what we think we have to adapt to be long. So when we think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that sense of belonging, that sense of acceptance gives us that codependency. So I want you guys to understand that. It's just like a signal that you tampered with. It's just like a person provoking and gaslighting. If that person does not want to see you be successful, it's just like the pick Manisha Monica, who is doing signal tampering, or her son, who's the signal unit 31 Romeo. He doesn't like me, I don't like him, so it's mutual, and some other is a dangerous person, a narcissistic sociopath, and a pathological pick Manisha. So when I dated a sociopath and everything else, his mother is an enabler because she's a scammer and a con artist. She has a fake identity. She does a lot of things that I'm just now finding out about. So I'll give you four instances about this. When a woman is mad and upset and angry that her cover's blown as being a covert narcissist or enabler of her sociopathic pathological personality disorder, nasty narcissistic son, or her sexually abusive predatorial son, then there's a level and layer of darkness in the new people, but there are generational curses that are going on that I may not have been privy to. So once you begin to look from a place of empathy, you begin to separate yourself from that. And you begin to lose the levels of soul ties you might have with that person or emotional levels of ties that you have with that person, and you begin to see them from a different light. And it may be that they're walking in a false light and a disorderly, out-of-order, demonic light instead of one that is of a illuminated light, one that sheds that light and shows you a better walk of life than being a nasty personality disorder, pick-me-isha, fed wench, or a nasty, out-of-order bully. You know? So that's why I want you guys to understand that and the examples of that with relationships or with what would have been what we call a true love scam or a person who never really loves you, but they love what you do for them or how they can use you or in a layer of, how do I say this? If you have a husband that lied to you about his identity or lied to you about his connections to people you may know, it's the same example of having a tie with someone. So you have to break that tie with that person, including up to family, toxic family members, or people who are interconnected to your family members. That is the same example of that pick-me-isha, her nasty, disgusting, narcissistic personality disorder, bullying, provoking, gaslighting, stuff. So when we think about all those and those examples of people who are nasty, evil, disrespectful, misconduct laden, it's the same as a mother who enlists her son, a 31 Romeo, who knows how to use cable companies and do those different things and tamper with signals or using VPNs or doing all those disrespectful, misconduct laden things I pointed out. So I wanted you guys to understand how narcissistic, nasty mothers can pass that down to their nasty, narcissistic pedophile, out-of-order, priceless, sadistic, sexual abusing, domestic abusive son. So when we think about all these types of pick-me-isha antics or provoking gaslighting or IT antics and things like that, just like my FedEx 31 Romeo, 82nd Infantry Division, Fort Riley, Kansas, where my Pompeo was stationed. So when you think about all of those different things, my 31 Romeo X is a nasty, narcissistic sexual abuser, and he's also married to a wealthy, well-connected rapper who was involved in all the pick-me-isha antics. So I want to give you guys examples of narcissism, sociopathy, and then when it comes to find out why. How I got a lot of closure is I found out that Monica is the same scam con artist that was doing tax evasion, tax scams, and scamming other people, opening up businesses with EIN channel business doing. So some of the things I told you I investigated about my own situation, where I told you business models were robbed by that same nasty, narcissistic, narco woman and her nasty, narcissistic, psychotic son, who also went to a network. So when we're talking about levels and layers of identity theft and all those different things, it caused grief, loss, hurt, harm, disrespect, misconduct, and then when I then went after in the same nasty, narcissistic Ignatia for her diagnosed schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic, personality disorder, rapist son, sexual abuser, pedophile son, who's married to this rapper who's enabling all his narcissistic antics, it becomes a level and layer of multi-layers of generational curse. So when we think about all of these different things, a lot of us end up intertwined or entangled with someone due to their level and layers of generational curses or things that they had going on long before you met them. So when you meet these type of people who are narcissistic, undiagnosed personality disorder, pickmanicious, just like Monica, just all about the cheating woman, just like I was telling you guys, the same Monica is the same Monica that everybody's finding out is not the real person. It's actually not Monica Saul. She's actually Monica Tumor Alpha. The same con artist, Ignatia, and now there's an investigation. So when you think about those type of con artists, those nasty, narcissistic people like this who utilize people or their friends who are in high places to cover up all their wrongdoing. So when you're thinking about all this, it affects the integrity of investigations and things like that. So going back to generational levels of things like that, you have to break those soul ties and those chains to the same people, because a lot of times when you have people who have abused you, provoked you, emotionally abused, gaslighted, bullied, harassed, it's because they knew you were getting close to what they were talking about or doing. Or you got close to it because it affected your people or they caused destructive levels of pain, wrongful death, things like that. So when you think about someone who would date you for 15 years on and off, trying to find out if you knew about cases that their father and their mother were involved in, because his mother was a snitch and a rat, just like his father, it becomes a level layer of, but it becomes layers of generational curses and things like that that are stemming from things that were revolving around people that you may be related to or have known. So when we think about generational curses and chains, you have to break those soul ties. You have to break those generational chains and sometimes remove yourself from those people who are creating those orchestrated hardship losses or levels and layers of misconduct, abusiveness, divisiveness, all the out-of-order things that I told you guys that I was going through and the hardship that I went through because this man stole my business model. He sat there and worked with these Armenians, and these same Armenians are the same ones that are on DEA cases. Things were stemming from 91, 93, 94, 96, 96, 97, 2007, 2008. So when we're thinking about levels and layers of this, and you enlist your son or your husband to do all these different things, play with IT sharing, cable sharing, like it happened with AT&T, happened with Dish Network, happened with Cox Cable, then there's a level and layer of misconduct, abusive divisiveness here, and there's a level and layer of that 31 Romeo trying to cover up for Mommy Dearest, who's a fraud and a con artist. But it comes out to be a level and layer of soul ties. It means there's levels and layers of Mommy Dearest and Daddy Dearest for doing a lot of scamming. Joanne the scamming and Joe the scamming. So when Joe the scammer and Joanne the scammer get caught up, then what do? They turn around and cause a lot of grief, misconduct, layers of abuse of device and antics, using avatars to hide behind because they know that they're informants, snitches, rats, but they're also scamming con artists, and they've been doing this for a very long time. So not only does it become a level and layer of harm, but it becomes generational harm because you did it to my father, you did it to my mother, you did it to my aunt, you did it to different people. So when we go into levels and layers of misconduct and things that were happening over a layer of years, it becomes a level and layer of time to break those chains, strategies to implement change. And here's the reason why I go into this. You have to learn when somebody is banking on your loyalty, or banking on your habit of being codependent on acceptance or wanting to be accepted, the levels of psychological, emotional need. And when a narcissist uses someone, they use vulnerabilities or they use levels of brokenness that have been manufactured over a period of time. Or brokenness that stems from either some type of psychological abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And that person banks on your trusting them not to hurt you again. Or they're doing something to exploit that hurt to use it to their advantage. That's a master manipulator, a narcissist, a psychopath, a sociopath. Just like Monica, like I told you about Anti-One Twitter, the one that did that and came after me and asked about mental health. I'm like, why are you asking about mental health? It's the same thing this woman Monica did that I talked to on the phone. The same Monica that was playing Ignatia antics. So not only did I recognize the voice, but it's the same avatar that's sitting on Monica all about the cheese. So I said, this must be the same person. So then we're starting to realize that there are things going on because I got some good information today. And the same people that were going after others were revealing that this woman was a fraud helped me with the level of my grief easing. I realized that my grief was being stemmed from a lot of things that I didn't cause. It's not my fault. For the longest time, I blamed myself for trusting someone. That's a genuine person, an empath. I trusted you. But you took that trust and tried to get information. And then you tried to destroy lives alongside of that to cover up all of your wrongdoing, your generational family's wrongdoing, and level of the misconduct, abusiveness, divisiveness that you've affected my family for generations, and I had no clue because there was a disconnect in family. So I would have never known unless I asked. That's what narcs do. That's what sociopaths do. They lie. They steal. They cheat. And they scam. So when it comes back to hardship and going into levels of success and resiliency, a lot of these things you have to consider. You begin to look and replace this unhealthy habit. So I stopped wanting to be accepted. I stopped wanting to seat at a table. I stopped wanting to be loved. I stopped wanting unconditional love because I realized most people don't know what love is. I realized most people do not know what loyalty is. Most people don't know what integrity and moral value is. Things that I signed my oath in 2017. I took an oath to protect against enemies born domestic. You know, and I never thought how important that oath was and how important the Constitution was until I got closure today. It reminded me that sometimes the law is not on my time, but it's on time. And I used to question levels of order and life and illuminated life until this happened. My hardship is so deep and so hard that it takes a very resilient person, a person with a strong mindset, to get past it. Because any other person would have fell apart and been in the nut house by what happened to me. Psychological, emotional, physical, sexual, all the batteries, all the emotional abuse, all the overdose on medicine I didn't need, all the trying to stop me up, to shut me up, because people had harmed me and I had no clue. Until I started asking questions. I started piecing things together. I started going and changing my habits. Meaning habits of wanting to automatically trust someone. Giving the benefit of the doubt instead of going with my intuition. My inner crystals, my illuminated light, my DNA. It makes me a natural Nancy Drew. I'm Asperger's. I'm very, very INFJ. I'm the rarest personality type. And I will tell you that's what helped me. Because I started analyzing things because it just didn't make sense. I was angry for a long time. I would sit there and be like beating my head against the wall. Like, what the deuce is going on? And when I sat back and I changed my habit to want to react emotionally, I removed the emotion out of all this. And I had to sit down logically and say, you know what? Let me improve myself. Let me begin to change me first. And see what it was that made this narc come in my life, or several narcs that exploited me, came in my life, got my personal life, and then used that on social media to humiliate, torment, gaslight, play these psycho games, ambiently do subliminal cheap shots, doing things where I'm reacting to all this, but I started seeing the pattern. I'm like, hold up, why is this person saying things that I know? I only talk to certain people. Where did I get this from? I know I only talk to you, you, and you. I know I didn't talk to you. So when you start settling your mind, separating the emotion, and most of us trauma patients, I will tell you in the beginning, and this is why I recommend trauma therapy. Trauma therapy is something that helps you to begin to decipher cognitively, dialectically, and helps to brain train you and reprogram your brain from trauma. And I will tell you, I can't speak volumes as to how much I'm grateful to my doctor. Because I decided to go see a doctor after they kept trying to keep me from seeing a doctor to make it look like I wasn't compliant, and I was. Or they made it so hard for me to get appointments in Georgia and Florida. I finally got a specialist. Because the place I was going to turn over to a specialty clinic. And they ended up getting the doctor. And I thought I'd find a new doctor. I told the doctor I'm here because I want to be present for my client. He said, what do you mean? I said, I am a life coach. I'm certified since turning 16. I went back to school in 2013. And I ended up graduating with my associate degree. And then I subsequently got my bachelor's degree. Right after that, I went to disability support services. And I will tell you something. That was hard in itself because I was dealing with trauma the entire time. And the same person I trusted is the same person that harmed me. We were in the same classes together before he moved to Texas and then to New York and then married this girl. And I will tell you guys, the most maddening thing in my entire life is sitting next to somebody that was my enemy or part of the equation of what happened to my father. Because he asked me questions about certain people I'm related to. Things that happened to my father and my actual related family member that died. And it's like a level layer of hurt so deep after I realized what this is all about. My heart is still hurting over the situation, and I never got to hug this person. I got to hug my mother, but I never got to hug my father. I never got to tell my dad, I love you. I never got to know him. I only knew him through certain things, and I just found out that my father was my first Santa. I found that out. Some gift that he gave, he acknowledged it. And he never forgot about me and my sister. And now that I realize it's deeper than what happened to me, I let it go. The reason why is that there's so many layers to it that you can't even wrap your head around it. You can't even begin to understand the grief and the losses and the processing all the misconduct, the abusiveness, the divisiveness, all the things that went into things that happened that I cannot change. And my mom, who adopted me, something important, serendipity. And the serenity prayer. Sometimes when you're not looking for things, it's like serendipity, things come past, and you get the answers that you weren't looking for. With that being said, and I'm not trying to say too much, I got the answers I needed, so therefore I have the closure. It's just so late in life. And I have to be okay with not getting justice in so many ways because it's deeper than just me. It's bigger than just me. I had to stomach that and have radical acceptance, something I learned in trauma therapy, dialectical therapy, and as well as watching an amazing psychologist on YouTube. And the lady's name is Babette. She's cool and awesome. And one thing they had taught me, and she would inspire me to go get some trauma therapy and really get into a level of being present for my client, is that I had to admit that there were things that were wrong. It's nothing wrong with me. It's what happened to me and how I was coping. It's natural for a person to have a level and layer of hurt, anger, and righteousness, and pure level of emotional complete levels of rage. Because when you find out someone has lied to you, destroyed your entire family, their family destroyed your entire family, or part of the family's members are responsible for it, and this person dated you on and off for 15 years, another person dated you for 10 years because their family also had a hand in all of that. And you turn around and you look at all these people who are in your life, explaining the situation so that you can get ahead of it. You begin to become less and less emotional and you become more logical. You begin to start to reason out things and understand it from an empathetic point of view. You begin to look at the generational curses. You look at the generational things that happened before birth, things that happened after birth, and things that are coming to pass full circle 25, 30 years later. A lot of us are children of those different things. Now adults. A lot of us don't get to go back to our past because it's too hurtful. I don't recommend a lot of people delve into their past in time. Here's why. The hurt emotionally that I feel is so heartbreaking sometimes that I get a headache because I can't begin to wrap my mind around how selfish, self-centered, evil, and disgusting, diabolical some people really are, and how far willing some people were willing to risk my life, my current family that I was adopted into's life, and the levels of misconduct is so egregious and so much of a hate crime, hate level violations, civil rights violations, to where you just can't even begin to wrap your mind around how sick some people really are. But they can make a perfectly good individual, a perfectly sane individual like me, sick. You end up traumatized. You end up breaking down from psychological abuse, emotional abuse, tormenting, bullying, gaslighting, and they did it for a long time. But this narcissistic taking me said, literally played after I had a doctor's appointment, but I knew that she was up here doing this invasive privacy crap. I knew that her husband did it. I knew that they did this mess after the fact. But it's 10 years later, 12 years later, 15 years later, overlapping crap that they did. It violated my personal rights. That's a hurting thing. And most of us don't understand. You have to bounce back from all of that type of stuff, whether you like it or not. Because the things that were designed to kill me, I could have died from being poisoned, medically almost homicided, car tampering, hate ordered on my life, on my sister's life, death threats, all the things that happened to me. But I had to make a choice, either lay down or stand up. There's a famous saying on the ID channel with Lieutenant Kenda, and he says, there's a time when you sit down or you stand up. You make that choice. For a little while, I sat down because my loyalty kept me chained to people who were being disloyal, disrespectful, divisive, abusive. Causal layer of law so deep, so profound, and deeper than the trap. I had to get to a place of serenity. My mama taught me this, the serenity prayer. And I'm telling you, that is what kept me. Plenty of time. I'm reading the Testament, First Testament of the Illuminati, the Bible, and the Torah, and a couple of different other bodies of work, including the Quran. Each one was loosely interconnected because religion is something what I call history separated but intertwined. It took a level layer of me not losing my religion on several people and getting to a place of calm and the majesty of remaining calm, even though my emotions were getting the best of me sometimes. And the critical part of all of this is that I never thought I would get here. As a life coach, a wellness coach, health coach, and be able to improve my argument without wanting to scream, without wanting my voice is breaking because I don't want to cry. The emotional, psychological attempts to break me, to silence me, to harm me are so egregious and so bad that the choke back tears. I could have died. I had survivor's guilt. There was a time I thought maybe I should have died. People told me I hope he died. So I don't have to deal with this. Or people told me if you would have died, this would be over. You know, things that were done to my daughter to skew the validity. Same pathological crap. My daughter almost broke down. And those that wanted to play about things my daughter did to cope. How sick can you possibly be to put that on social media? How narcissistic can we be to talk about things that nobody else knew about except for me and my daughter had these conversations?
And my daughter doesn't talk to anybody about that. How dare people, local, talk about things that were only talked about in doctor's offices between me, myself, and my daughter and her doctor. The trifling things that this kidney, Isha, and her dirtbag husband did, invasion of privacy, and others who had vested interest in the situation did, and used that for subject matter and sent their little minions to play games on social media, offline, online. I have to fight back tears right now to keep from breaking down in front of you all, because part of the seminar is for you guys to understand that it's important to replace an unhealthy habit with a new habit that provides a similar benefit, meaning my unhealthy habit of wanting to emotionally erupt, go off on people for what they did, and I have a righteous right to want to cuss people out, drag them to hell and back, throw them in a grave, dig them back up, and drag them to hell and back over what they did. I had to get to a place that when I was stressed, to turn that stress around and become productive. Change that mindset that I had of reactive abuse syndrome, narcissistic abuse syndrome from NARC being NARC. Yeah, I was NARC, but like everybody else, I survived the NARC, the Duke of Narcolus, basically, which means my ex and all these other different people. And at this point, literally people did the most. And I was riding for people who rode for me, but against me. I was being loyal to people who literally were hurting me and throwing me in as a pawn and hoping that they could eradicate me because I'm living proof of what they did. My sister's living proof. And they were hit orchestrating my sister's life, and she's military. And the level of fear mongering that was done to my mother that adopted me. The death threats to kill my mom. Death threats to kill my daughter if she didn't give news. Or kill me if she didn't give news. Things that they all did. They all participated. Yet, I had to sit there and stomach all that, remain calm, and practice the level of majesty of staying calm when I have every right to cry. I have every right to punch the wall. I have every right to want to go strangle somebody, but I don't. I chose to be a clear empath, a super empath is what I'm called. I had to go from being a trusting person to zero trust. I had to go from a place of where I blindly trusted my mother. I had to rebuild back that with my mother because people violated me so badly, used me. I'm not talking about my mother that adopted me. I'm just talking about in general. And when we are thinking about those layers of time to break this change, strategies to implement change, time to break this change, strategies to implement change, we have to begin to look at all that, come up with another way to deal with the levels of stress and practice the new behavior instead of going back to old behaviors that are comfortable or easy to go to, which is reactive abuse syndrome that I displayed. I've seen online. I went back and watched my lives where they were terrorizing me, using their burner accounts, provoking, gaslighting, harassing. And I saw myself reacting to all that, going off on them because I was so outraged that you would sit there and continue to try to hurt me and harm me after I've already been egregiously and deathly, and it used to make me so mad. And it's difficult to stop when you're so used to survival mechanism, survival technique, all that beep, 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 you got me, SMS, beep, 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 MF, you got me, beep, 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 all those things that people saw were their strategic ways to keep me distracted from figuring out what they did, how far they did it, how long they did it, because it was interlinked 91, 93, 94, 96, 95. Things that I was telling the truth about, they're just mad because I got close to the truth. I didn't know anything. I just did my homework. They're only mad because they're getting found out and who they're supposed to be ain't who they really are. That's what I meant, working in a false light, not an illuminated light. And the levels of out-of-order misconduct, emotional abuse, tormenting, gaslighting, harassment really did damage. It did some severe damage. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. That's why it still goes to someone. That's why I encourage someone and everybody out there. What I mean by someone is y'all going out there to go see a doctor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, someone in a specialty when you're traumatized. Like I did. It's okay to say, I can't handle this. I don't need to be my own doctor. I don't need to be my own therapist. I don't need to be my own life coach. I need to get someone who can help direct me. That's what I did. A smart person knows that they don't know everything. A smart person says to themselves, you know what? I know when I can handle something and when I can't. And I didn't want to keep trying to dig myself by myself out of this. I didn't want to think that I had all the sense because I didn't. I'm learning right along with everybody who's been traumatized how to go and manage every day. I reach out to you guys as a life coach certified because we learn about these things, and that's also what helped me to calm my nerves, to calm myself. And it took my partner in coaching, when I went through coaching training, that they also messed up that. It taught me a level and layer of, because I was going to be internationally certified, and they messed that up, so I had to go back and get all that done, because I had already finished all my coaching. I did 6 months, and they messed that up. But I already have my certification, ISO 9000, which is higher than the ICF. So with that being said, I'm still certified. I got my wellness coach, my health coach, and my divorce coach will be coming soon. The certification, I'll be able to work with the court, DC National, all that other kind of stuff, which I look forward to doing, because that's going to be my healing lifelong. For me to help others, to be able to direct them to go see a doctor, it's okay for med management. It's okay. As I become a medical doctor someday, they'll be seeing me to diagnose and treat. As of right now, I don't diagnose and I don't treat. What I do is I serve as interim gap until I have a level layer of apprenticeship through the doctors and things like that and get my certifications done, and I will finally be a medical doctor certified. That's why you guys saw my status as MD. I'll be finished in 5 years, and I'll be able to be a medical doctor full on board in my own practice and my own clinic, diagnosing and treating. Until then, as I tell you guys all the time, I'm only a certified life coach, and I do not diagnose and I do not treat. Although I know how to, I understand it, but I will not do it until I have my certifications and I go through all of my credentialing that has to be done. With that being said, as a life coach, I'm able to help you guys in specialty. For those of you who are kind of hard to be different here, you're going to be dealing with those failures of people who are narcissistic, sociopathic, divisive, abusive, nasty, evil, discriminating, economic, or biocuristic, or emotionally abusive, or technology abusive. Like I gave you the example of the signal campaign. With Cox Cable and AT&T, lo and behold, the same Armenian tragedy with AT&T got my FedEx fulfilling one. So now you understand invasion of privacy to its entirety, exploitation to its entirety. So when I think about what someone said about criminal enterprises, there were. Mine was not. You guys all heard me when I called the IRS and said, am I under investigation because the IRS did look into me because of the attachment to this scam artist? For some. And the sad part about it, I'm just now finding out. I got the best exposure I could ever have gotten today, realizing that they did the most. They destroyed lives for years. Like I said, I was just only a victim. But instead of saying victim, I'm a survivor. Most victims don't make it out. Some victims end up dead. I'm not going to be one of them. Because I want you guys to understand everything that was designed to kill me and harm me to overcome. It can happen. You can overcome hardship. It's all in how you process it through mind. So I want to give you some strategies about how to change your habits or how you react to things and whatnot. Choose a substitute. Plan ahead in time for how you will respond when you face stress or a level of things that cause you to have a bad habit or bad reaction. Eliminate triggers. Your environment might make your unhealthy habits easier to go to and compensate. So good habits harder to go and list. So when you think about this, make it easier to change your habits by avoiding things that trigger them, including people who enjoy or get off on triggering, upsetting, provoking, and gaslighting.
Now you guys understand why we have social media. We got social media as an aggregator. Social media was a level layer of where they were using fake stock accounts, dormant accounts for hosting a gaslighting. Then when I sponsored them and I reported it, they put it to my name. But I explained why they were changing things to my name, because they were trying to go and do things on me and I didn't do anything. Social media managers. So part of my angels were some of these social media managers. And the confidence that because these people didn't care what platform they used. They were platform to platform to platform. Multi-people, multi-district. So at this point, it's a level and layer of a real-life major community that's really happening. All of us are participants inadvertently, involuntary. And it's that part about it can all play out in social media. And social media ends up being a saving grace for someone's victims. If they hadn't been for social media, allowing for those victims to see, some of us would be dead. I'm one of them. I would have been like, nobody would have known. That's the difference sometimes. I'm not going to sleep. Because I realize that somebody tried to poison me. I realize somebody tried to manipulate my life. I realize somebody messed with my car 18 years ago, they messed with my 18 years. They didn't care. Well, they were getting away with what they did. They didn't care about the sexist conduct or previous levels of Kimberly or base even. But they just care. Because they benefited from all of it. And they banked on loyalty, silence, or a victim not knowing all of those parts. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. And nobody can help you if you don't talk. You don't understand what the cops are saying. You said you got help. You got to say something. And when I'm telling you the truth of what I had knowledge of until now. I had to do my homework and figure it out. So the cops have turned it over to $100 because it was bigger. And I say the Pensacola Police Department, the St. John's Police Department, and the RPD are here. New York PD. LAPD. It's not all this extending them through these things. But it takes a victim being adequately assisted while being trained adequately. Agencies being fact-finding. People who are specialists who should be able to work in these agencies in the capacity of a medical officer in the police department. Maybe an ex-military medical officer can do that and become an MP at the local level. I don't know what needs to be done. I have suggestions. Because a lot of these things are all part of specialties. A trainer, somebody that can train cops and forensics at the local level. Because it's just a victim, myself, to tell these cops, you're missing some things, sir. And be harsh and listen to me. Let me tell you what's going on. Stop thinking I'm none of these soldiers, and I'm telling you the truth. When they tried to make it look like that, Steph was a cop. An informant. His mother was the wife of the informant. Cases of 91, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97. He didn't need to go find out if I knew about that. I wasn't known because it's so many years difference in age. The only thing I say to my wife's brother, we saw it. And we asked some questions of my ex. Between the two of them, the man that I was dating for 10 years. Because I was able to think of answers and figure it out. I was just surprised. I could have died. But the exploitation was using personal things, personal conversations, it's like crazy to me. So most of us who get stricken with narcissistic abuse, emotional abuse, domestic terrorism, most of the time it's a narc trying to shut you up. Most of the time it's somebody lying to you, lying on you, manipulating you because it was open up and it was boxed so deep that sometimes you don't always want the answers anymore. Just like I don't, because it's so hurtful. It'll break your heart. I suffer from heartbreak. not because of love, because of betrayal. The trauma of being tried to facilitate me to die. He tried to tell me, man, say misdiagnosed. You ruined my life. You stole my life. You stole my hard work, my hard earned work I did on my businesses. You scammed. You stole my dreams. You stole my daughter's businesses. You stole everything. And you lied. And with that, I have to have a level of resiliency to eliminate those triggers. To begin to pair up with someone or work on changing your habits together. That means even with a life coach, once you come see me, I'm certified. We learned that in paradigms of coaching. Hardest thing is, I'm damn good at my job. And I could have lost my career. I almost lost my daughter. And I had to be my own coach. One couldn't get a doctor to listen. I was one of those patients that fell through the cracks. That's why I became a doctor. My doctor before didn't listen when I told him. I want to be a good doctor, so I have to be a good speaker. Creator. Write dissertation about narcissism. So if you don't see, the doctors can better treat victims like me who end up with psychos, misdocumented, mistreated. Or damn near homeless kids because there was enough money in that stage stand. I want you guys to understand that I'm not becoming a doctor for my own self. I'm becoming a doctor because there's people like me who didn't have a doctor in the beginning for 10 years. I became disabled because medicines were coming to me. I ended up having stroke, being heart attack, and I had a good doctor in Atlanta for having 20 children. Why did they call turkey like that? If it wasn't for the doctors, the people who listened to turn my sin, I would be dead by the 2017. I tell people, I am survivor material. It's not all survivors, all people. The reason why I say survivors is because not everybody does make it out. I'm just one that in. If it wasn't for the Department of Justice, if it wasn't for intelligence agents, it saved my life. I thought people were just trying to get off for your people. My friends make stresses. That's when my door is in. People work into your reach. So I couldn't turn things down and get adequate protection. But if it wasn't for CJN men and women, CJN women and women, CJN agents that listened and found the owners, I know I would have been dead. That's what I meant by hardship. That's what I meant by being scared to try to show you. So with those strategies, you have to substitute, plan ahead, and you begin to explore when you face something that stresses you out, causes you to react. You begin to eliminate that things that should trigger you, things that you can trigger you in your normal body. That's when they escalate. When you begin to go past those triggers, and you begin to realize all you're trying to do is trigger the same response that I can't have. And you can no longer touch mentally, emotionally, sexually. That's breaking their soul boxes. That's trust factor, that blind trust, that codependency. That's why you break those chains. You try to break those chains. You try to do things that change. Because some people bank on your left and your side. That's what we're telling people. Sometimes you have to save yourself to find support. That's the last part. And begin to hold each other accountable when you find yourself flipping or reacting the same way. Or you have a team of support people, like on social media. We've got Medu Twitter, Medu Facebook, okay? Group. Serious support groups, so I'll leave all that stuff. I built my own support group. And I know it's a good topic. I helped someone else if I could help myself. And I started seeing myself in her. Her husband tried to ruin her life. She got divorced and she's now married. My husband tried to take her to everything she's worth. But I showed her how old it was. And I didn't realize I was able to do that. I was like, hey, it's imposter syndrome that I have about coaching. I'm damn good at this. And she came back and thanked me. Her husband thanked me and said, I met my wife because of you. You're a great coach. That inspired me. If you scared, if I'm doing, even though I got embarrassed, humiliated, avoided social media, my representations of my brand, you know, it hurts. It really does. I'm so mad. I still breathe. You guys can hear my voice. Because I didn't deserve it. And a lot of the times, you have to surround yourself with like-minded people. That's another strategy. So I joined IM. The way that they're sensitive, this is my ultimate and my testament. The impact of trying to shed some light. And how hard it freaking is to hardship to become a better person while everybody's checking you in the team. Harassing, bullying, terrorizing, destroying everything you want hard for. I had to implement everything that I'm telling you guys. And I made this documentary, I took a great risk of all things. Because they couldn't watch. More than what they did. But because I trusted it, I read it, I was sick in 2017. I was actually dying. I'm stressed and my body breaking down. And I've finally gotten better over time. I'm not 100% physically well, but I'm getting there in emotional wellness and well-being, and it's hard. It's hard. That's why I speak a therapist, Dr. V's present, so that when I reach out to each one of my clients, I won't get triggered, that I can separate the emotion and watch at you guys each, not as different numbers, as a person, and I can relate and get on your level. I can sit down with you and your clients in my office, and I get it. When I become a medical doctor, I won't be so jaded that I can't look at that person and be a human being. Somebody that was broken psychologically and having put together just like autism speak through this jagged edge to that problem that doesn't change. So now, that puzzle piece is sitting right there. Your brain is broken. It doesn't mean that you have your remedy broken. It doesn't mean that you have to use the but I can't. You can use but I can't. But I can. And you overcome a negative level of self-talk. Things that I'm trying to tell you are sex. So when you are changing an unhealthy habit, it might be easy to judge yourself, or if you slip up or feel guilty or mentally beating yourself up, to not do it. Because we're our own worst credit, y'all. We'll have a tendency to think, oh, I slipped up, I said a cuss word, or I slipped up, I'm not being perfect, so active Patty, or perfect Patricia, like, why did I get married? Where you saw how perfect she was, but her marriage was a strain, freaking wreck. But she wasn't who she supposed to be, who she presented to be, a stellar coach, or was a therapist that she was in the movies, but she literally had a train wreck relationship, family, generational shift, babies lost, her marriage to this woman. But yet she went to work every day like she was fine. And those are the people who normally are not fine because everything looks perfect. And I'm going to tell you this last thing. To be a perfect man, to be a perfect woman, because each one of us has vulnerability. Each one of us has flaws. It's okay to be flawed. You don't have to be small or false. It's okay to jump to look like a freaking book stuff. It's okay to go through periods of grief. It's okay to have your butt print in the couch. From being down, it doesn't mean you stay there. So when you think about this, and you're one of the boys feeling guilty of mentally beating yourself up, it could be an example of, but I feel I'm out of shape or tired. A few months from now, I'll feel energized or sick once I start working through that. That's like when somebody's depressed. Do you think you're going to want to be dressed up, look great, look like a beauty queen? Hell no. You're going to look like a person with a bonnet, don't give a shit, and don't care. Might not even wear a bra. Same thing with a man. He might have a 5 o'clock shadow. That's just nuts. And not change his underwear every couple of 30 days. Because somebody's going through something doesn't mean you need it. But you have to have like-minded people that surround you and are able to support you and get focused on changing some unhealthy habits. That's why you have accountability first. That's why you have support groups. That's why it's okay to go see a psychiatrist, therapist, psychiatrist, psychologist, intern guest. Don't see your psychiatrist, psychologist, ACA, MSW, LSW, or a life coach, someone certified to help them counsel you, to help you to get to a point where you start to change those habits that you adopted and coping mechanisms that are responsible. And don't try to feel blue and fine. I don't want to be scared away. Just stop. Yeah, sorry, baby. I don't care. And you have to think about, I feel like I'm going nowhere, right? But I'm working to develop valuable new skills and coping mechanisms. I think I'm a failure right now, but everybody feels sometimes. If you have a failure in life, you're not doing anything. If you don't have enemies in life, you're not doing anything. If you don't have people who are coming after you in life, you're not doing enough. Yeah, I said it. So when you start to do level inventory and shadow work, you begin to think, when does this habit actually happen? How many times do you do it? And where do you go? Well, who are you with when this happens? When are you triggered? Who triggers you? And then you begin to eliminate those different things, and you begin to put those notes. I'm going to give you guys some exercise formulas for all this type of stuff, and I'll put it online. I wanted to make sure that we get presentations first, so when I go and do all of this, from our online pre-recorded. You guys will be able to get all of this plus the actual paperwork comes along with these things. And you'll be able to do the things at home. And we'll do a self-help, self-coaching. And you'll get the pre-recorded sessions. So that's where your donation is. This is all the business. That was great. That was great. And I hope that all the business and the practice. I hope they don't become a doctor. That's what it's for. So when you say your love offering, it's not for me to love it. It's for me to work towards discovering it. And I hope it's covered. It's for the people who end up on drugs, alcohol, who are sick of their looking at every third drug of crazy. They drive them crazy. For my children, there's a coping mechanism that is unhealthy. They fully medicated, trying to dumb themselves out. We've all been at the top of our life. That's unhealthy habits in our life. But that does not mean it's so with that being said, we're going to move to so we're in the second of sector of the presentation. Rituals of highly sensitive individuals. And like I told you guys, you're Dr. Joe Biden, you're Joe Biden, president, and you're Kamala Harris, Kamala. Your people like that who are highly successful have dealt with hardship. You're Michelle Obama. You're Bushes, Laura Bush, President Bush in the past, senior and junior, all overcame hardships, things that were designed to kill them, harm them, take them off their square. But you see who they became. So I want you guys to pick up some reading materials and things along the way that I tell you to pick up. Pick up Barack Obama's story. Pick up Laura Bush's story, Jenna Bush, Hagar's story. Pick up these people's books. Pick up Barack Obama's book. Pick up Dr. Jill Biden. She writes a book. Pick it up. These type of people will help you disarm your life or help you shed some light, some illuminated, luminous light. Luminous light. So when I think about this, I'm a beast. I'm learning how to step into my life. Maybe she's born with it. Or maybe she's really. So maybe she's a behavior. In a sense, I am really a one. We all are. Well, think about this. We all can be born. It just takes shedding that light and not cursing. It takes one to each hard time. It takes what is called post-traumatic growth. Radical acceptance of sometimes the most egregious, misconstruated, paid levels, civil rights, violating, deathly, harmful, evil, is pathologically diabolical. Everybody I see, sometimes even cousins, I don't know what they share. Sorry. Not that. But they share my face. Sometimes you have to consider their person. If they consider their strong person, if she has to consider that pyramid, biological, mental, emotional, behavioral, mental health, their stronger person, who is the only person, somebody who is going to be a part of me, a phenomenon. But do you think those people that have a family life? You think Joe Biden didn't go to the office? You think Joe Biden didn't go to the office? You think Barack Obama didn't go to the office? You think a bunch of things didn't go to the office? You think the Clintons didn't go to the office? I'm sure they did. I don't know. Because we see the finished product. So, if you're wondering if a successful show is for real, well, this is where we start our show that. We all have rituals every day. You have to brush your teeth every day. You have to wash your butt every day. You have to brush your teeth every day. You have to comb your hair every day. That is a ritual. Everything has a ritual to it. You have to go to school every day. You have to drive all the way to school. You have to drive to work. That is a ritual. We all do it. So, I want to share with you rituals of highly successful people and how it will help you. How it will help you get ahead from regular posting life and become even more still, more capable, becoming a better version of yourself. Do your hardships, obstacles, grief, loss. Take a look at the morning and evening and business rituals with some highly successful individuals on them. Take an example, Mark Zuckerberg. Let's take that. Have you noticed the lovable layer of who this man is? You've been looking at him for 100 years. Well, you think one of the great in your eyes is really only the great teachers, but these great teachers are not the influencer in this country. What are the great teachers by Mark Zuckerberg and Oliver Sacks? This is the way of saving time. Even if you sometimes put behind him, you'll still find the bus around the clock strikes at 6 o'clock in the morning. Without having to worry about falling to wear that day, Mark Zuckerberg grabs his outfit, which is usually his gray t-shirt, when he's off work in his office early in the morning. So that means that he has a habit of having his things there. It means that he does not have to worry about picking out who he's wearing, what color, what pair of shoes, and that's that. it's that all time that you say to get up and go to the okay? Let's look at having your warrior feel on this step. It's your warrior out of our time. We think about rising early in the morning, sleep on the protect. And when we think about having your warrior, which is the night shadows of the land, and the twinkling of stuff, which probably reminds us most successful event at 4:30 in the morning. Hadamir is of the most Hadamir warrior starts to be like 1 through 3 months. They see in church and stuff informed about current affairs reading. They finish reading the newspapers, then it's in church and they stand healthy, and she exercises. So after that, her daily morning rituals, she doesn't have to fight with her and ready to take the child into the big world. So it means that she has ways to take care of her body, her emotional health, her behavior, and exercise, eating well, and then moving to actually her day-to-day functioning, so she's well aware of what's going on, so she can navigate the day. Let's take another one. Tim Cook, Apple CEO. Tim Cook not only enjoys his being up before the sun, he is very proud of the fact that he's the first one to be at his company in the morning for the last 3 weeks. That's indicative of most billionaires, millionaires, and people who are very successful. You can strike the email from Tim Cook as early as 3:45 in the morning because it's when he gets up has become the first to become an email with the time in the morning because of the business hours for most successful people. Most business people are up what we call business hours, voluntary hours, business hours. Because while everybody is sleepy, most of us are. So that way we get our day started and get things done. I have a habit that I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning getting things done. I'm sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning, and by that time I'm taking a power nap, I get back up and I get started with my day. Yeah. Because I've already briefed myself about the day. So I'm doing things different because yeah. But I have learned by watching people and their success formulas and their seminars that they have. And hearing what their success formulas were, I want to adopt some of these patternistic behaviors. Because it helps you become more efficient and productive. So, and he has become known for sending healthy emails in that time of morning. He's wanted to ensure he maintains his health. Therefore, you can find him at the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that, but that's the extent that that's about. Then we look at Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter. And here. So, tweet might be some of the Twitter he said Jack Dorsey in the morning when he's taking his 6 mile jog. And Jack Dorsey also takes some time to meditate before he leaves for his runs in the morning. That helps him get his mind and his body because he knows that he has a so when Jack sits down and he thinks about what he's going to do with his stage on his social media, which is up, he begins to think, what are they doing in common? They're maintaining their health, their exercise, and they both also wear a certain type of uniform. That keeps their day fast, quick, and hurry, get dressed, and just that work set up. You look at Jack Ross, founder of Optimum. It patient who says things is not even true. It's not true. And most people miss. So when you look at some of the things in your network system, you find out life, we begin to look at the behavior until we realize the time is money. Keep the present value of time. You cannot get to my backwards. So it's just like that when you look at finance. If you look at that in your life as a finance book, you begin to look at the present value of time and how to organize your money so that every hour of the day, there's money, mortgage, or money back, or a level of valuation to what you're doing. Therefore, you begin to realize that time is money and you don't have time to play. Whether you're a billionaire, a millionaire, or a regular everyday person, or just a personnel that makes these billionaires money. So when you think about all these different people, you think about Tara Golden, that's the last person I want to talk to you about. And Ken Warren. Most of my relationships with individuals are getting a work budget for the day's job. And most of those people start to talk to you. So they all have a little understanding that it works on their considering their self-esteem or think that she needs to stay attentive to respond to and do what she needs to do by being very tough. So by saying to see, she's ready. So that means that she speaks herself, and then she begins to look at what would have been with put in the causes of success. And it's not a great exercise. Then you look at Virgin and all these other different people like David Tush of Virgin America. At crunch time, Barbara Steve's morning, this time, he literally gets busy to offer his associate members or to move up his systems, but not to look at them sometimes on his email to the push code. He begins to join Fierce Dallas, then he begins to read his papers So do you notice the level of layers of friction with each person? That she can feel fit, mentally fit, physically fit. They go to the doctor, they have the doctor to make sure they're healthy and positive. And then on top of that, they get rest. Again, she can look at the different things they need to be doing at a certain point to get ahead of the day. So while everybody's sleeping, they're moving. That's where your change makers, your movers, and your shakers. Get everything done, and they have these schedules. But with that being said, you're looking at all these people with these particular things, and you look at the level of Ariana Huffington. You look at Jen Schmidt, American Express, founder of Huffington Post, Ariana Huffington. You look at all these different people like Bill Gates, Microsoft, and you look at all these different people that compare back and forth. So when you start looking at the best performing people, most of it is a level layer of consistency and trust. From who they used to be a long time ago to the person that they are now. Then you look at media mobile, so you look at all these different business people, business women, and then you look at these different things that you meditate to do. That's something that I think is important. So when you look at these different things like that, you look at all the things you keep yourself in place of this. When you think about all those different things, meditation, extra mindfulness, and being present, part of that is what. And so with that, I want you guys to understand where you begin to look at these strategies that they're putting in place. Speed is very important. Look at what everybody needs from you. Begin to assess all of the things, analyze, and being in control of different things. So when you look at all these different things, and look at what it takes from them, and think committed. And being committed to success level, and then continuous level of changing the things that are not working, implementing those changes, and trying to break those changes, strategies to change. And then when you look at all the different things, you begin to look at all the rituals, and, you know, begin to know, and begin to look at the work, and begin to work at the downhill stretch, and begin to work at the special work, and begin to look at the remaining focus, innovative, well, training, organizational structure, and how you structure. They have people who work on the same page, their spark team, their dream team. And then, you know, a good education will assist you to be able to make business better. That's really what it's for. So when you think about all these strategies, step by step, the editor might be the CEO. You look at this page, or you look at Microsoft, Bill Gates. You see the third under Mars. You look at two before I my name is Art. He started out in his apartment. But she's there. At Fashion Week. And the other guy that's on there as well, I forgot his name, per se. He's the one I always forget that he's one of the most important leaders people. Because he figures that there is David Jones and that there is the fashion mind. That's that guy. That's the problem. And then there's another person that's simple because they all follow a regimen, a strict level of leader of pattern and strategy from what they find as the alternative to what they do. So when you think about this, prepare yourself for opportunities, committing to being in the because of the need to yourself a business or not a business person, opportunity yourself is too. So when we look at all of these different things, we begin to create the level of wealth and success. The best wealth we can have is mental wealth, emotional wealth, wellness, well-being. Some of these people are in this chapter. Some of them even think support me. But sir, they don't tell me about it doesn't mean it's people. They just don't share that with you. So never be afraid to believe in your ability, and you should take smart risks. Then you begin to become emotionally, but once the tax department was more attached to time, money, and being productive, you capitalize on all your opportunities. smart. There's one that enjoys things that is the tech. And then there's one of the things that are going to affect all the things that are just empowering. And begin to look at our codependencies that keep us in that level. Bye. So we've been over an hour and 44 minutes. I'm trying to make it under 2 hours with this presentation. I hope you guys like it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope this is both for people and layers of you guys starting to change. Begin to go with your inner illuminated light and begin to look at your hardships in a different manner. Begin to disengage from those that create triggers, upset, trauma, or grief. And if you are traumatized, and to give you a doctor, go see a therapist, psychiatrist, and if you're a natural and can't be a therapist, psychiatrist, come see. Come see a life coach. Come see a specialist. So I can help you do that. So when you go back to see a doctor, you can look around. Hey, I'm going to find these different things, and I'm back here and move to the doctor. No problems. No biggies. I want to make sure that you fit well. And I want to make sure that I'm helping you, coaching you do that. That's why people go to see coaches. We can reiterate what the doctor says. Once we are in being resolved, and we begin to treat and diagnose and do all of it, that's when there's a day of 8 to 3 years. Because we'll go through a level of series of building and reprogramming you to a better mindset. When we are in programs, we'll help with your form of your illuminated mind. I am a client that fits us reach the illuminated mind. What's your form with naturally? Can you go back to your true high end self so that you can be the presence of high end body you might want to be? Whatever life throws at you. And you can feel that and feel better. And there's a hardship for me to lose. And you just like, oh, what the? Do that. Instead of saying, what the deuce happened? You're here. You're on my best side. You can't get me now. You're not even moving now. Don't let me be only now. That's why you use yourself. So, you guys, first, I love you all. I want you guys to have a good day. When you get up in the morning, you hear this audio. Listen, take what you want out of it. You don't have to listen to everything, but take what you can out of it and begin to build yourself up to a better, abundant version of yourself, illuminated version of yourself, a changed version of yourself, an improved version of yourself, and implement the change in the rest of yourself to start with you. And then move to change yourself. Or helping them. That's what it is. And I know that because I know that I'm getting better and better over time. Not overnight. My success journey, you guys will hear about, what would be your journey? Maybe it's 2 years, 2 years, who knows? But I know that I figured this, the big life in my life, the laws of attraction and energy in my life, health in my life, wellness in my life, well-being in my life, safety, adequate protection in my life, a good career, and be able to return and still teach, still instruct, still guide, step through. I'll get busy in the bedroom. And I hope I have a spot. I never eat it. I shine naturally. With that being said, I hope this helps you all. In call in life, anytime on the show, I would love to take your shop on offering for any blog offering to do so or anything like that. You can do that at ISDP Coaching, not even coaching. Hang out online or talk radio diva. And if you're talk radio diva, the power of the future, you can log on to talkradiodiva.com. And you may be able to book your appointment at ISDP.com for a specialty appointment and see more about the live show plan about the family and volunteer coaching for your regular everyday job, aka, or anybody out there that wants to come get themselves together, be coaching like that. I am busy for my IM, be kids looking like that. It's not the same as my IM. But I have the IM doctors that I've learned, you know, need to survive. So I want you guys to understand why I say IM. As a beacon of light. So I want to teach you guys all the things that helped me to shed light instead of feeling like I was a bad person or things like that. I am actually an exceptionally good person, a sweetheart. I have this like a big bear. The beast in me is going to be my bed. I'm just a decent person. And not by that, I'm like, oh. So I want you guys to understand that and it's even when you're like that. I want you guys to know that everybody has their days up and down. I'm not perfect. That's why Sister Rick says in this documentary for you guys to get to know me and get to yourself. I mean, you guys can begin to understand and trust me about my one. It'll be good.